Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
To recap real quickly, we talked last week about the Bible instructs us to guard our heart. So we kind of started with guarding our heart. And going into our heart, we're talking about our inner life, not the blood pump, but our inner life, the core of our being. We're a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. So we're talking about that spirit-soul connection, that inner connection, inner life. And we said guarding our heart involves guarding our words and then guarding our mindset or our thoughts. And I want to go back to that because this is so key. When the Bible talks about renewing your mind, it talks about how do I renew my mind? So your mind, really it's your mindset, which will be your thoughts, your attitudes, your perspectives. And so let's jump into that tonight, because this is really how we begin to live out the change that God's done in us. This will solve some of the frustration if you understand what the process is, and that you made Jesus your Lord, and yet you wonder sometimes why you still have some of the same challenges that you used to have. And sometimes people get frustrated with that. Now, I understand. And I remember when I first came back to the Lord, I was born again at about 19. I came back to Him a number of years later at 22. And I just remember after I first came back to the Lord, I just felt euphoric. I was just, felt like I'm on cloud nine. I couldn't sin if I wanted to. That didn't last forever. And I'd stopped. I was at a getting something to eat. I came down to Texas. What got me to Texas was Wrangler jeans. Anybody familiar with Wrangler jeans? I sold Wrangler jeans. I'm a little embarrassed about it now, but in the garment industry, you sold tops or bottoms. And I got a business card that actually said, bottoms specialist. Yeah, that's, I know some of you are thinking, whoa, TMI. But it was, so I sold the jeans, and unfortunately, when you sold jeans like that, you noticed what jeans people wore. And of course, Wrangler had those patch on the back. And so I just come back to the Lord. I was doing great. And a girl walked past me, and I was checking out her jeans. I don't need any innocent looks from any of you. But what surprised me was, and immediately the thought hit me, I thought you'd come back to the Lord. And a lot of times, this is where young Christians, if they don't know God's Word, this is where the enemy can convince them they never got saved to begin with. And he'll say, if you were a Christian, you wouldn't be thinking like that. You would be surprised at how Christians can think. Here's the deal. And if you don't do something with your mind will go in all kinds of ways. Your flesh can go in all kinds of ways. And so it rattled me for a bit. Thank God I had grown up Baptist. Anybody grow up Baptist? Yeah. Baptists are big on once saved, always saved. So I bought in. I'm like, nope, I am saved. But then I had to understand the process of how do we get from living with what God has done in me, how do we begin to see that change in our lives? How do we see it transformed? And so this is what Paul was talking about when he wrote to the church in Rome. In Romans 12, this is Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. This is the CSB. This is the Christian Standard Bible. It's a fairly new translation. Scholars seem to like it. I like to use something different every now and then just to kind of shake things up. Therefore, brothers and sisters, and I like this. In view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. When you read the scriptures and you read letters like Romans and Corinthians, Ephesians, all these letters, You have to understand every one of these letters was not written to unbelievers. Sometimes people have read that and they're like, Paul wasn't writing to unbelievers. He was writing to the church. And so all the letters are written towards believers. And so he's saying, as a believer, we have to do something with our bodies. He said, present your body as a living sacrifice. Now, here's something that you'll have to understand. God is not going to do something with your body. You have to. Well, just think about it. If God did it, it really wouldn't be a sacrifice, would it? It's a living sacrifice, which means you'll have to tell your body, your flesh nature, no. Well, I'm sorry, did that bother you? Because you got to understand this. If you don't tell your body no, your flesh nature will want to do the same things it did before you came to the Lord. And that really rattles people. They're like, well, I thought I was a Christian. I thought I'd get... Listen, and I know that God has delivered a lot of us. A lot of people got delivered instantly. It was the easiest thing in the world for me to kick drugs. Easiest thing. Gave it up. Gave up alcohol pretty quickly. Other things were tougher. Y'all looked at me like, you're a horrible person. No, I know. No, listen. All of us have a flesh nature. And this is why Paul, writing to the church, said you have to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. When I married Joy, I became a one-woman man. And so the answer is no to every other woman. And you're thinking, well, you're getting to the age where it doesn't matter. Oh, no. Oh, no. If you think that, you're in trouble. Until you breathe your last, you're at the age where it still matters. So you do not trust your feelings in your flesh. Amen. So you're going to have to tell it no. It's a living sacrifice, which means there's some things that just will not feel good. But when I said yes to Joy, it's no to everybody else. No. There's a girl, this is years ago, when I was doing the singles, that I'll never forget. There was some girl that came in our singles group. For some reason, she didn't figure out I was married. She asked if she could have a counseling session with me. And we had a back room. I said, sure. And so she went back there, and I got Joy. Joy walked in behind me. And she saw me and brightened up. As soon as she saw Joy, she looked. And she didn't come back. We have to do something with our bodies. Then here's the thing. We have to do something with our mindset. Don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is why people can say, hey, I don't understand it. So-and-so, I know they go to church. They've been in church for a long time. Why do they live like they live? And if you don't change your mindset, you can live just like you used to live. And here's another thing, too. For those of you who have been a believer for a long time, please understand, you always have to stay on guard. I think sometimes older believers, people, I've been doing this for a long time. No, you still have to say no to your flesh, and you still have to renew your mind. All the time. So it says we have to do something with our mindset. Again, without intentionality, we can act just like unbelievers. And so he's saying you can be conformed to this age. So we have a part to play in our transformation. I was thinking of this, and I know people have prayed this. And people have prayed, Lord, oh, they get frustrated. Maybe they're dealing with something that just plagues them. And they're like, Lord, change me. Lord, change me. And the answer is he already has. He has changed. It's just a matter now of beginning to live out that change. And so part of living out that change, it's beginning to change the way your mindset, the way you see things, your perspective. And that's something that's ongoing. It's a continual process. How many of you would say this? How many of you realize you think differently than you did 5 years ago? That your perspectives are different than they were 5 years ago. And it's a progressive thing. We just keep growing with it and keep going. So it's an ongoing process. Paul corrected the church at Corinth. And he wrote the church at Corinth. Corinth was, again, like the Las Vegas of its day. He said in 1 Corinthians 3:1, he said, "For my part, brothers and sisters, I was not able to speak to you as to spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as babes in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, since you were not ready for it. In fact, you're still not ready because you're still worldly. For there is envy and strife among you. Are you not worldly and behaving like mere humans?" I'll explain that one in just a second. You thought, well, that's exactly what I am. But no, you're not a mere human. He's contrasting spiritual people versus people of the flesh. And he said, I had to think. Other translations said, I fed you differently. Do you realize that when you come in, someone is speaking, someone is sharing the scriptures, they're feeding. And so he said, I could feed you. He said, I couldn't feed you with solid food. So he said, I had to give you milk. He said, you're still babies in Christ. And he said, you're still people of the flesh. And he said, in other words, he said, you're still ruled by your flesh nature. He said, well, how would Paul know that? He said, there's envy and strife and divisions among you. He said, you're acting like, that word mere humans, a better translation is mere unchanged men. Unchanged men. And so when Paul was writing to them, now here's what Paul didn't say. He didn't write them and say, you know what? You guys need to get saved because y'all are lost. That's not what he said. He said, you're still ruled by your flesh nature. He said, well, you know, Alan, I got a flesh nature. How am I going to get past that? Well, that's a great question. But this is why we have to say, no, it's a living sacrifice. And this is why we have to begin to renew our minds. What you're doing in here tonight, if you're listening or you're watching online, is you're in the process of renewing your mind. You're in the process of thinking differently. I might share something tonight that maybe you've never heard before. You're like, whoa, really? Or you've heard it a lot of times before and you think, well, I've heard that. Listen, I'm either planting or watering seed that's already come there. So if you've heard it before, if you've never heard it before, I'm planting a seed. If you have heard it before, I'm watering the seed that's already been planted. And so this is a constant process. So we're keeping up with this. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and he's telling me, guys, you're acting like unchanged people. So let's go quickly to Paul's instructions to the church at Ephesus. So again, same thing. He's dealing with Christians. When Paul would write the churches, oftentimes he's dealing with problems in the churches. And so churches then are like churches now. They're made up of people. And so you're having to make adjustments and having to change. And he's talking to the churches. Corinth was a wild town. And so these people were coming in. They were getting saved, but they came out of a pure heathen background. And he's saying, guys, you can't do that. And then they were fighting and arguing and dividing up into one like Paul and one like Apollos. And they were having church splits and all kinds of fighting. It's just, Paul's like, I know he's frustrated. He's like, no, you're changed. But we have to do something to see that change. How many of you believe when you made Jesus your Lord, you became a new creation in Christ? We talk about that a lot. But how many of you know that it takes something for what's on the inside to show up on the outside? And so this is the process that we're doing. So Paul now is talking to the church at Ephesus, and here's his words there. Ephesus 4, verse 17, then we'll jump. Therefore I say this and testify on the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thoughts. And I'm going to jump down and say, but that's not how you came to know Christ, assuming you heard about him and were taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, to take off your former way of life, the old self that's corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness and righteousness and purity of the truth. So he's saying, don't live like you used to live. He said, you got to take off that old self. He said, and be renewed. And so the transition point, the catalyst, is that we become renewed in the spirit of our minds. You know, as I look back on my life, there were things that I used to think and ways I used to operate. And as I begin to seek the truth in God's word, I begin to go, well, that needs to change. Jordan and I's marriage was very difficult. Both of us were two hurting people that came together, and we created a lot of tension. And what happened was both of us begin to see the truth of God's word. You've heard me talk about how joy had 1 Corinthians 13 up all over the house. That's the love chapter. Love is patient, love is kind. She had it in the Amplified. I'd open the bathroom cabinet. There's 1 Corinthians 13. I'd look under the sink to get something. There's 1 Corinthians 13. I look in other places, there's all over the house. I finally asked her, I said, why do you have it all over the house? She said, I need it to remind me to walk in love to live with you. I'm glad you think that's funny. But here's the good news. It worked.
It worked.
It worked. Now we don't have to have it all over the house because we have it in our heart and it's in our life. And that's when it makes such a difference. And so we begin to renew our minds, and I realized I didn't have to live selfishly. I didn't have to win every argument. Did you hear that? It was like a groan that went out over there. I felt that arguing was like a contact sport. It's like, if you're going to get into an argument, I'm in it to win it. I know I'm the only one. Just indulge me just for a moment. And then I realized I don't have to win every argument. Listen, if you think about it, you got two preachers in the house. You got two very verbal people. Joy and I have never been in a lack for words. You'd never looked at one of us and were like, I don't know what to say. We always know what to say. And usually it's got some scripture behind it, especially with Joy. She will whoop you with scripture, man. She brings them out of those Old Testament books that are still stuck together in my Bible. I mean, she'll hurt you with them. And but what we've learned is after a while, we realize we're going head and toward an argument. Both of us just get quiet. Go somewhere else. Come back together again. We're like, you good? I'm good. Good. Works out a whole lot better because when it used to be on. She used to argue with me and, man, I'm on it. And then she finally realized she could ignore me. And she'd leave. And I'd find her. And then I'd give her the silent treatment. Y'all never done that. I'll explain. The silent treatment is when you just... It's like ghosting them, but you're still there. You just go silent. You don't talk. And they're like, you walk past them. So Joy, when I give her the silent treatment, then she really would. She would disappear. And I definitely have to find her to remind her that I'm giving her the silent treatment. Some of you are thinking, y'all are stupid. Yeah. Yeah, we were. That's why we had to renew our minds. Listen, so much of the time we bring in baggage from how we were raised, what we did, how we grew up. And so we have to change how that works. I grew up in a home where you had to eat everything on your plate. It was like, it was almost blasphemy if you did not clean your plate. Now, I grew up, my parents went through the Great Depression. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Great Depression, some of you are going to have to Google that. It was a long time ago. But it was a time when a lot of people had food scarcity. And both of my parents remembered not having enough food, especially my father. And so whenever we ate, whatever my mother made, I had to eat it. And if I didn't eat it or if I tried to complain about it, I can hear my dad now go, this is not a cafeteria. Your mother made it, you're going to eat it. Where do you think I developed such an intense hatred for onions? Because my parents loved onions, and because it was on my plate, I had to eat it. I used to drop onions in my napkin on my lap and then find creative ways to get, hey, can I go to the bathroom? And I'd dump onions in the... But I had to eat everything. I grew up with that. So now I'm a dad. I got children. We're sitting there at the table. Matt goes, I don't want to eat this. And I said, this is not a cafeteria. Which was really stupid because we'd actually gone and gotten something from Kentucky Fried Chicken. He didn't like the slaw. I said, you're going to eat the slaw. So he showed me. He promptly threw the slaw up right in his plate. And I had a revelation. Does it really matter? And I went finally, when the kids would go, hey, I don't want to eat olives, or I don't, I'm fine. Fine. But I had to change. So much of the time we bring into relationships, we bring into life the way we were raised. There's a saying that says more is caught than taught. And you catch things. And so a lot of times you're the product of what you grew up with. So we're always having to renew our minds, always having to change. And so Paul, when he's writing, he's saying, put off the old man, put on the new. He said, be renewed, and renewed in the spirit of your mind, God's word and the Holy Spirit's help. Times like this in church, times where you're around, where you have friends who are believers. It's good to have friends who are believers. That's why we encourage you. Come, get involved in our groups, get involved. Have some people around you, especially if you're surrounded by no one who's a believer. You need people in your life who are believers. You need people who, when you go, hey, man, God, help me, and nobody go, God, oh, pfft. You need some people to go, yes, he did, and he will help you in the future. You need folks like that in your life. So I don't have any of them. Well, keep coming. And you can meet some of them here. You can serve with them. You can go to class with them. You can make a difference. So that helps you as you renew your mind, and it helps you begin to put on the new man. Now, Paul said, put off the old, put on the new. I won't have time to go in it, but in that chapter, he talks about putting away lying, speak truth, be angry, and don't sin. What's he talking about? He's talking about not living the way you used to live, but living differently. Anybody, I won't ask for a show of hands, but I can just tell you, I had anger problems. And if you have anger problems, here's good news. You can renew your mind to that, where anger problems don't have to dominate you anymore. You can renew your mind to where maybe you thought such negative, dark thoughts all the time that you're like, dear God, can I ever get out of this? The answer is yes. Yes, you can. You can get out of it. You can take God's word, and the entrance of God's word will bring light to you, and it will break through some of the darkness that's tried to hold you back, and your life can change. And you don't have to live depressed for the rest of your life. You don't have to live with anxiety for the rest of your life. You don't have to live that way for the rest of your life. I had a lady got mad at me one time. She said, you shouldn't tell people that they can pray and get rid of depression. I'm like, I'm not going to take that away from anybody. If you pray and the Lord helps you and you break out of that depression, I'm glad. Listen, and if you take medication and it helps you, fine. I just think it's a horrible thing to live under, and thank God we don't have to. And so, but that's a renewal of the mind, because some of you think, I'm stuck with this for the rest of my life, and you need to renew your mind to know you're not. Well, it's been in my family. Well, you're in a new family now, and in God's family, it is not something that's a part of your future. Mind renewal. Anger doesn't have to dominate you. Lying doesn't have to dominate you. In fact, Paul wrote the church and said, those of you who used to steal, stop stealing. Wrote that to the church. Not this church, of course. Areas of mind renewal. Let's talk a little bit about that. Here's some areas that, as you're talking about renewing your mind, here's some key areas you want to do. Here's the first one. It may sound simplistic. Do not throw it away. God is real and worth pursuing. God is real and worth pursuing. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 6. Now, without faith, it's impossible to please God, since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. We believe God exists. He's real. We believe this by faith. We don't believe it by feelings. We choose to believe there is a God. Heard a story years ago that I always liked. It was, there's questions of whether how accurate it was, how true it was, but I think it has got a lot of good points. A man was speaking at an institution, an educational institution. He was an atheist. He was laying out all the reasons that God did not exist and it wasn't real and Jesus was never raised from the dead. And he laid all that out. And after it was over, he asked for questions, and an older man stood up, and he reached into his bag. He had an apple. Reached into the bag, pulled out his apple, took a big bite, and he said, "Doctor, he said, I appreciate all them big words you used, took another bite. He said, I don't have the education that you have, took another bite. He said, and so I can't argue with you based on that, take another bite. He finished the apple and he dropped it in his bag. He said, but I do have a question for you. He said, that apple, he says, was it sweet or sour? And the speaker was annoyed. He said, well, I have no way of knowing. I didn't taste the apple. The old man smiled and said, you didn't taste my Jesus either. Amen. See, a lot of times people say, well, you know, prove to me that God is not real. I like that answer that the guy gave in the John, the 9th chapter. You know, the blind man, John gives him a... We just read that because everybody... We just read that, remember? Because everybody here reads Bible 365. We read that chapter. just reminding you. It was the guy that was blind, who was a spunky blind man. I'm looking forward to meeting this guy. And they said to him, you didn't give God the glory. This man, talking about Jesus, you said he's a sinner. He's a sinner. This blind man says, well, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But this is one thing I do know. I was blind and now I see. Listen, when people go, you need to prove to me there's a God. I say, well, I don't know if I can prove to you, but I can tell you one thing. I used to be bound and now I'm free. I used to be depressed and now I am free. I used to be addicted. Now I'm free. I used to be sad. Now I'm not. You cannot take away my experience of what God has done in my life. You can't take away. And that was his point of Jesus. He said, you haven't tasted my Jesus. It's by faith. It is not by feelings. And we seek him by faith. And we believe two things about him, that he is real, he exists, and he is a rewarder of those who seek him. He's a rewarder, not a punisher. He's a rewarder. Here's the second one. Jesus is Lord and worthy of serving and obeying. It's a mind renewal. Jesus is Lord, and he's worthy of being served and obeyed. Colossians, the 3rd chapter, Paul is writing to people who are slaves. He says, slaves, obey your human masters in everything. Don't work only while being watched as people pleasers, but work wholeheartedly fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do it from the heart as something done for the Lord, not for people. Knowing that you will receive the reward of the inheritance from the Lord, you serve the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for whatever wrong he has done, and there is no favoritism. Then he jumps down and says, masters, deal with your slaves justly and fairly, since you know that you too have a master in heaven. Servants were instructed to obey their human masters. You're instructing slaves to obey your human masters. He said, you do it out of reverence for the Lord. Now, here's a mindset. Some of you say, well, I work for so-and-so company here. I have my own business. You know, I work for myself. A different mindset change is, but I'm a servant of the Lord. I serve the Lord. I serve him. I work for him. I'm trying to please him, not please people. You know, the idea of us, I know you talk about serving and Jesus being a master and we being his servants, and that kind of rankles people. They're like, I'm a Texan, bless God. I'm free. You're right. You're free to make a choice. And I choose to serve the one who died for me and rose again. He's worthy of being served. He's worthy of being called Lord and Master. And Paul was writing to slaves. He said, you slaves, he said, you serve your own masters according to the flesh. He said, you do it out of fear of God, out of respect of God. He said, well, thank God we're not slaves of people down here. Thank God. I agree. Thank God for that. But if you're an employee, who should we be doing it for? Thank you for the four of you who got that right. If Paul can write to slaves and say, slaves, you need to serve your masters out of fear of the Lord, doing it as unto the Lord, what should be our mindset? That when we work, wherever you work tomorrow, you say, well, I work for Conroe Independent School District. Yeah, but you also work for the Lord. Well, I work for Energy. You're going to be busy this weekend, but you also work. You work for the Lord. Y'all are looking at me like I did not make this up. This is Bible. But you see where this is a mindset change? You see where this is a different mindset? What would happen if everybody who went to this church had this mindset Man, when we go to work, we represent the Lord. We serve Him. There would be employers calling me, saying, send me some more of your members. Send me some of your folks. I can tell this is going over big. How many of you, though, expect that as your pastor, I ought to at least be a good example? We were in the car one time, and a lady pulled out in my lane. And Matt was in the vehicle with me, and I'm about to give her the horn. And I mean, because didn't she just pull out my lane? She pulled out and went slow. And I'll never forget, Matt looked at me, he said, probably a church member, Dad. Thank you, Matt. Because no one wants to see their pastor honking the horn. Okay, story night real quick. I had two staff members came to a four-way stop. They didn't know it. And you know how someone, you do that four-way stop thing, and someone starts to go, and then you wave them on, and they're waving you on, and they start to go. And as they got closer, they finally realized both of them went to the same church. And they're like, hey. Hey. Maybe we'll take this up next week. When y'all thaw out. Go home and read that. If slaves can be told to do what is under the Lord, shouldn't we as free people say, you know what, I'm going to do this as under the Lord. I may work for energy, but really I work for the Lord Jesus Christ. And because the Bible said, and from the Lord you'll receive the reward of the inheritance, but I promise you it'll bring promotion. I promise you it'll bring promotion. You want that right attitude? Okay, let's pray. Bow your heads for a moment. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Father, we also ask, help us this weekend. We need help, mercy, for those who are out in the elements, help them. Be merciful, Lord, thank you. Since our bowed eyes are closed, no one's looking around. If you're here and you say, you know what, Alan, I don't even know if I have a relationship with the Lord, I'm just not sure. Or I did it one time and I've gotten away from Him, He knows it and I know it, but I want to come back. Well, you're in a great place. If you're watching online, this is for you as well. So we're here, and you have a chance. So I'm not going to make you stand up or come down to the front, but I am going to ask you to do one thing. If that's you that I'm talking to, and you say, you know what, I want to be sure I have a relationship with the Lord, or I want to come back to Him, would you pray for me? Would you shoot your hand up just real quick? Don't be embarrassed and say, that is me. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Yeah, got you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that. Appreciate your courage. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you didn't lift your hand, you wanted to. If you're online, they can't see you. You can still join us in this prayer. This is a heart prayer. We're going to pray with you. We're going to pray with you as a church family. But you pray it out loud too. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Father, thank you for those who've prayed that prayer, for those who've come to you and those who've come back. We rejoice with them and we thank you for them. And Lord, we thank you for the price that you paid for us. You're worthy to be called Lord, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.